Get home and wanna know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Over and over, everybody made my prediction. So if I get stoned, I'm just kidding.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me, and we will proceed accordingly. Still to come on the program here in about an hour, we'll talk to Dell Jackson, WVNN, and Yellhammer News. And in 2 hours, Rob Holbert, and we'll talk about this. It's kind of an oddity the way this Department of Veterans Affairs at the state level is being handled by the governor, by obviously the dismissed ethics complaint, and get everybody kind of up to date. And I'll give you my thoughts on that here in a moment, but I feel like I'm not really dealing with the entirety of that story. But joining us now on the line, he is the he represents you guys in North Mobile County, some of you guys across the bay in Baldwin County, but he's also the police chief up in Creola, State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you, Jeff?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. Well, let's kick it off here. And then you and I talked a little bit about it last week, but kind of out of nowhere, and I don't know, John Sharp was just cold calling looking for something here, but Sheriff Birch, looking to alter the permitless carry, constitutional carry law that you guys passed a few years back. You're not really keen on this, it seems, but walk us through, like, maintaining the status quo seems to be where you want to stay.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to help, you know, anything to do with law enforcement. I've been in law enforcement for 33 years, and, you know, I don't think that changing the age is going to affect that. I mean, we already have laws dealing with rape, robbery, murder, and everything else. The ones that are not going to follow the laws are not going to follow them, and I don't think that we should take the rights of law-abiding gun owners away just so we can arrest a few gun owners. Criminals.
Well, I guess it's this, that they want the ability for, or at least an enhanced ability for some kind of probable cause or whatever they need to do, because I think it's just kind of, they're trying to draw this correlation or whatever, but I don't think it's necessarily, there is one there. That with this law being in effect where it is, and then this crime wave we sort of see in a lot of Alabama's bigger cities.
Yeah, you know, and I don't blame Sheriff Burks for thinking outside the box or trying to do whatever, but the fact is, man, when you stop these cars at 3 a.m. and got a car full of teenagers, and it ain't like the only thing that they're doing wrong is having a gun in the car. Almost every time the car reeks of marijuana or either alcohol, there's a no tag, suspended tag, switch tag. You know, there's always problems there that give you probable cause to address that situation and that group of problematic teenagers or even adults. You know, cops work, and they've been doing this. They know what to do and what to look for. And the fact is, the ones that they're trying to get, you know, they can get, because their car is going to smell of marijuana. It's going to be no plates, no insurance. There's lots of reasons to address the problematic people, and that's what we need to do instead of trying to take the rights away from law-abiding gun owners so we can arrest a few thugs with guns.
Yeah, and, you know, we used to talk about this like this, that there was a financial incentive for these sheriffs to oppose the permitless carry because they were making money selling these gun permits. But In this circumstance, I mean, that's not necessarily true, wanting this tweak. But I tell you what, it just the point here, I guess, we need to talk about, Representative, is why you passed a bill, why you believe the Second Amendment says what it says. And if you start going down this path, right, it becomes eats at the justification to begin with.
Correct. You know, the thing is, man, the Second Amendment don't mention anything about a permit or getting permission from a sheriff to carry a gun. And, you know, we have seen over the last 10 years or so where Alabama lost their NICS exemption to where law-abiding citizens could go purchase a gun. And if you had a permit, that was you were exempt from having to run the background when you purchased the gun and wait the period of time to get it. Well, the ATF came in and audited the Alabama sheriffs twice, and both times they found a large number of sheriffs were not even running the background checks and just selling permits, you know, taking the money and selling the permits. And in doing so, there were a lot of felons that got permits that people were not supposed to have permits. In return, those people that had those permits were able to go in and purchase guns where they could normally not have purchased that gun because they were prohibited. So, you know, we've seen a lot of problems with the permitting system, and they really came to light over the last 10 years. You know, we had 67 counties with 67 different looking permits, and you couldn't really tell, you know, there was no booklet or pamphlet for law enforcement to show what the permits should look like. And a person could have a fake permit or a counterfeit permit, and you didn't even know that. Most of your permit offices were only open from 8 to 5 in the afternoons. And so if an officer stopped somebody after hours or on weekends, they had no way to even determine if the permit was still valid. All they could do was take it at face value. And in doing that, you had people that were prohibited that had an old permit or something that was able to drive away with the gun still that shouldn't have. So, you know, there was a lot of problems with the permitting system that kind of led up to this, on top of it just being a constitutional right from the get-go.
This sudden push for changing this law, I think it's not really reading the room. I just don't think there's any appetite for it, and I can't imagine your colleagues in the Alabama legislature even wanting to touch this right now. What's behind all this? I mean, you hear it a lot. You hear it a lot in places where there is the crime situation, but this seems like to be the fallback or the default position. Hey, if we didn't have this law on the books, things would be a lot safer around here, you know, and I don't think people are necessarily buying it, but is it just a scapegoat, or do you think people really think that they could make a change here?
I really don't know, Jeff. I know that, if it's a money situation, I know that we put the grant in place for sheriffs to apply if they lost money or whatever. And I know for a fact that's not depleted yet. So, you know, it's still money there to be gotten. So if it's a money issue, it's there. The other is, a lot of cities and counties and around the state and country have defunded the police or not supporting the law enforcement community like they should, which has led to problems in recruiting, hiring, and retention. So they're shorthanded. And, you know, and then you got a lot where they're going in and they're not policing the problematic areas. I mean, we've got predictive policing where we've got computer programs that will tell us where the majority of the crimes are taking place and kind of helps us to saturate those areas versus spinning our wheels and wasting resources. So, you know, I think if we would focus on that and quit worrying about the politically correct, and let's police some of these areas, no matter what race they are in their communities, I think that we would be a lot better off and address the problems.
joined by Shane Stringer. He's a state lawmaker from Citronelle. Representative, the other thing, what do you make of this to happen in Montgomery where they passed their own requirements here that you got to have a photo ID or whatever if you want to carry a gun? I mean, that doesn't seem like that kind of defies the spirit of the law you guys passed, and it's sort of a strange approach.
Yeah, and I think that their attorneys are probably going to be tickled to death with that because they're going to make a lot of money trying to defend the city over the lawsuits and the challenges that come with that. It's unconstitutional. It's not going to stick. It's not going to uphold. And, you know, I don't know if they really believe that it was going to work or is feasible, or if it was just kind of throwing it in our face, the legislature's face or something. But either way, it's just going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money and is not going to accomplish nothing. You know, the fact is, a lot of these Democrat cities and others have got to quit trying to find excuses to why they can't do their job and find reasons why they can. You know, I've talked to sheriffs across the country when I first passed this legislation, even before I passed this legislation, and every one of them said, Representative Stringer, we're law enforcement. We are very resourceful. We will find ways to protect our communities within the scope of the law, and that's what we do.
Now, I don't expect you to be an expert on any of these cities, and every city has its, you know, problems, but and they are maybe addressed differently. But we'll say tomorrow they hire you to be the police chief in Montgomery, Alabama. What do you do first there? How do you even go about straightening that situation out?
It's going to take a process, but first thing you do is get out and find your community leaders and in every part of the city and work with them to find legal and proper ways to address the crime in their area, which is the same I've done in the other cities I've been police chief. And almost everyone that I've been in, you've always got your elders in your community, even the minority communities that want you in there keeping law and order. That is the primary function of government, is law and order. So you reach out to them and you find, get support from them and work on it. You start building your reputation back up and building up the camaraderie and the morale in your department, and you just slowly but surely rebuild it back up. And it's going to take time because of what's happened, but taking law enforcement out of some of these minority areas or problematic areas or whatever is not the solution. You have got to have proactive policing in our communities. And like I tell everybody, there's a thin line between policing your community and harassing your community. And you definitely want to make sure you're not harassing your community. So there's ways that it can be done under the proper leadership. And, you know, maybe Montgomery needs to find somebody that's willing to make excuses why they can, or reasons why they can do their job instead of excuses why they can't.
Well, how about this? So is there, you're sitting here today, when you guys get back next year in Montgomery for session, and you know, what's left to be done at the state level? Well, I mean, can you pass any more laws? Is there, you know, could you see what Reed Ingram and Barfoot want to do with, like, imposing some kind of, like, Alabama Accountability Act? But that seems to be kind of mixed. I don't know if something like that could get through. Are there any remedies? And if so, what?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've got to address mental health. Mental health is the root of all problems. I mean, we've seen it with the Georgia school shooter and in other areas across the country. I mean, we've got to address that. And if we can address that, that's going to take care of a lot of it. But, you know, we're going to see a lot of legislation come anti-gun, in my opinion, that going to blame the gun for the problem. It's not the gun. It's the people. I mean, people with an evil heart are going to find a way to inflict harm in some shape, form, or fashion. If they don't have a gun, it'll be a knife or a car or whatever. So we're going to have to really work hard this session and take a close look at a lot of the pre-filed bills that's already out there and some of the others that'll be coming. And let's try to come up with a way to sensibly address this and fix our problems without, you know, taking shortcuts or trying to take shortcuts.
Yeah, and, you know, the people in these communities, they're just looking for answers, too. And, I, you know, you would think there would be some kind of visceral pushback against what some of the lawmakers want to try. But, Representative, it sounds to me like that there's a lot more, I guess the point is elections have consequences in these cities. If you keep electing these kind of mayors, you're going to get what kind of comes with it. But I think you're starting to see a trend, at least some rumblings in the bigger cities in Alabama against this sort of, I don't know, the era of George Floyd and the response to it. And they're kind of ready to get back to maybe the way things used to be done when it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the best of circumstances, but it sure was a heck of a lot better than it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that we've got to take some common sense approach to this. And, you know, we really need some law enforcement leaders across the state that's willing to step up and say, we are going to protect our citizens. We're not going to tolerate any crap from.
Did we lose you, Representative? We may have lost Representative Stringer there. Yeah, he dropped. Anyway, we're going to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
We're going to do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound.